You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Ridgecrest Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. To connect with us or learn more, visit us online at ridgecrestbaptist.org.
We are in the book of Acts, and I'm here to tell you I've read the book of Acts many times over the years. I've preached through it a few times over the years, but this time through, it has really challenged me. When I was younger, I thought that the church was all about big churches and doing big things. But the more I read the book of Acts, that's not what it's saying. It's telling me to not be thinking about just getting bigger for the sake of getting big, but it's telling me that what we want to do is make the kingdom big. We want to lift Jesus up. We want to plant churches. We want to pour into souls. We want to disciple them. We want to take Jesus as far and wide as we can go. And Paul and Barnabas were on a mission. We see the majority of the book of Acts. We see them planting churches. We see them spreading out in regions and literally taking over with the gospel. And you would think that with the power of Paul's preaching, with the incredible encouragement of Barnabas, that they would have never hit a wall or reached a point of despair. But what we see in the book of Acts is that this is a dry and dusty world because of sin, because of the fallen condition of human hearts. And what we're going to see in the text today is that sometimes we do run into some difficulties. But I want you to see how Paul and Barnabas deal with spiritual stress, how they deal with the pushback that the enemy provides, and how they're able to shake off the dust and keep moving forward for Jesus. So if you will stand with me one more time, let's stand. As we stand upon the solid rock of God's word, we're in Acts chapter 13 and verse 44. Just to remind you, they are in this little village, a smaller town called Antioch of Pisidia. It's not the big Antioch where the big church is. This is a place where some church planting has been taking place. Things have been going good, but notice this, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. That sounds like we're going in a good direction. And then we hear this. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples, and listen to this, I love this, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. God, I pray that as we do the work of ministry here in Springfield, that those last words of our text will ring in our ears, that if we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, we have joy and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we know that conversions, we know that discipleship and growth only take place when your Spirit is stirring and at work. And so, God, we pray that we will be holy and we will be in your will, Lord, because we know that is when you are operative, when your power is flowing through us. Jesus, help us to be filled with your presence so that we can make a difference in our community. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to take you down a little trip with me. I take you on a trip down memory lane. For me, memory lane, I grew up not far from gravel roads. And so when you live anywhere near gravel roads, you know a little bit about dust. If you remember, if you grew up in the country, so to speak, or if you were in a little town like I was, and just a few streets over, there were gravel roads, you know that you could always tell when someone was coming because a dust cloud would identify them coming. And if you were the one in the car and it was summertime, you had to keep the window. Back then we called them winders. I think they're windows now, but back then it was winders. You had to keep the windows down so that you had some breeze, but with the breeze came the dust. So you'd get out of your car and you'd go like this and you would have to dust off. Now, I want you to have that image in your mind because I think it's a pretty good image of what's happening here. Clearly, you saw in the text that Paul and Barnabas, because of difficulties, because of pushback from the people in the synagogue and the rulers of the city, they had to metaphorically dust off and move on to the next destination. I believe, church, that a church like Ridgecrest, we have seen God do some amazing things in the past. But I think we also need to realize that every once in a while, we're going to have to dust off and reconsider. We have to look at where God is leading us. And in the past few months, I've been trying to communicate to you, I've already mentioned a little bit of it already, that God has impressed upon my heart that there is a new direction for us to go, one where we are focused not on just getting big in the sense of kind of how I was trained as a pastor in seminary to think about big churches. I'm more enamored at this stage in my life with big kingdom growth. I want to see the kingdom of God grow. I want to see people discipled in the name of Jesus. And I think that some of the dusting off that I've had to do in this last year has brought me to that point. But let me just warn you, and perhaps this is a thesis of sorts for us here today, if you are planning on doing something for Jesus, you will stir things up. There is no doubt in my mind, church, that if we are going to be effective for the kingdom, and we're going to go into a world that is dry and dusty because of sin, a world that is in need of the living water of Jesus, if we go out, we will stir things up, and it will not be easy. Dusting off sounds easy, but in this context, in the text, we see that it was not easy at all for Paul and Barnabas. They had brought the word of the Lord. Look at verses 44 and 48 of our text. If you have your Bible open and look there, you'll see that Paul and Barnabas are not doing anything all that clever or creative. They're just preaching the word of God, but the word of God is what's changing people's hearts. You know, as a pastor, there are a lot of times where I think about what I could do. I could do this, I could do that. But I've had to come to the realization that what I'm called to do is to feed the sheep with the word of God. And I don't think that that's the craziest thing in the world, because when I read the text, I see that when the Holy Spirit fills the pastor and he preaches the word of God, when you as a Sunday school teacher or small group leader, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you allow the word of God to say what it says, it changes people's lives. The word of God is the difference maker. And in our church today, we want to make that clear, that we believe that if we will preach the word of God, what we're doing is inviting the presence of Jesus, and that will bring a crisis of belief. That will bring people to the point where they realize that they need the Lord. In the text, there are some very interesting words and language there that speak of the difference between those who receive the gospel and those who reject the gospel. We'll be talking about that here in a moment, but here we see resistance. We see success for a season, but literally within a week's time, a whole town who is interested to hear the gospel begins to be pulled away from the gospel because of the voices of people in the community. It only took a week for the wheels to fall off of this revival. And what I want you to realize is this, as we look at this today, as I think about what this text is trying to tell us, is that there is no doubt in the world that if we go forward with a vision that God has given our church, we are going to run into some difficulties, but that resistance that we feel is spiritual warfare. We need to accept that, and we need to not back down. We need to be strong in the word. But I also believe this, sometimes that spiritual resistance that we're getting, we don't always need to assume that it's the devil. Sometimes we're moving in a direction that's not healthy. Sometimes it's the Spirit slowing us down and showing us that maybe what we've always done isn't the way we need to continue doing it. I hesitate to say this, but I had just this amazing thing. I preached the first service. My voice has been weak today. I thought I did a pitiful job. And anyway, I didn't feel good about it. And somebody grabbed me and said, and this is the kind of person that's been in, knows ministry better than me, has been around forever, and just said to me, hey, look, pastor, here's the deal. We've got to do whatever it takes to reach our community. Like he was saying, throw it all away. Everything we've ever done, throw it away, Pastor. Throw it away if that's what it takes for us to be the church we need to be. And I'm going to tell you, when I heard that from this particular person, I just said, God, you're at work, because I'm used to hearing that, hey, now listen, we're excited about what God's doing, but let's not change anything. You know, yeah. We want to see God move, but it needs to be right in line with what I've always seen. And here's what I think. I think God has allowed Ridgecrest to experience some pressure, maybe some pain in the past decade. And all that has done is to bring us to a point where we can be open to what God wants. Because here's the deal. I am convinced that there are many people in Springfield, Missouri, appointed to eternal life, verse 48, appointed to eternal life, that we have yet to have the opportunity to share the gospel with. So what we have to do is go bang down some doors, knock down some doors. Okay, don't knock them down. Don't bang them down. Be nice. But let's be bold in our witness, because the other side of the equation is this. Verse 46, there are those whose behavior deem them unworthy of eternal life. Notice that phrase in verse 46. That's the opposite of those who are to be saved, those who not only say no to Jesus, but resist the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will run into that if we are faithful. But if we're going to shake things up here in Springfield, I just want to say it again, we're going to stir up some dust. And when we stir up dust, here's three words of encouragement for us that I hope you can hang on to. First, don't thrust aside the gospel. Don't thrust aside the gospel. Just a week earlier, Paul and Barnabas had been warmly welcomed in the synagogue. If you look at verse 15, you realize that the red carpet was rolled out for them. But when the message of the gospel started stirring things up in town, almost a whole city shows up at the synagogue. Now the tone changes. Paul and Barnabas are reaching people in a way that the good old boys, so to speak, at the synagogue had not been doing. And if you'll look there in verse 45, you see that they didn't like it. They began to revile. They were jealous of Paul and Barnabas. And they were jealous of the message they proclaimed. Verse 44, they were proclaiming the word of the Lord. Now, here's the thing. What we see in the text here, remember that the people in the synagogue had been sharing the word of God with their community. The Old Testament, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, not to reject it. They had been hearing the word of God. But what they missed because of their zeal was this: the zeal for the old ways of the covenant blinded them from seeing the breakthrough of God's promise. Now, that's a rough quote of Darrell Bach, a great New Testament scholar, but he's right on. But here's the deal. When we look back at the Old Testament, we say, okay, the Hebrew people missed out on the gospel. But I'm here to tell you that today we need to be careful, because sometimes our zeal for doing things a certain way may cause us to miss the breakthrough of God's promise. God is always at work around us, but we need to be careful. We are not supposed to just go and do what we want. We want to make sure we're doing what God has called us to do. But these men, Paul and Barnabas, they're called blasphemers. And they're called blasphemers because basically they're being accused of stealing sheep. So Paul and Barnabas are taking people away from the synagogue. And that's where the jealousy comes in. We need to realize that it wasn't about stealing sheep. It was about bringing sheep into the fold. Our job here at Ridgecrest is to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our job is not to try to just, again, get big and have a bigger footprint. I've been saying that again and again and again, and I know it sounds counterproductive, but listen, when we make that our goal, we miss out on the deeper, richer things. We want to share Jesus with this community. I'm here to tell you, again, as a pastor for many years, I have thought that if people will come to me, I can straighten them out. And what I've realized is the only thing that straightens out a soul is Jesus. I need to be faithful. I need to be prepared. I need to be professional. I need to do all the things I'm called to do as a pastor, just as you need to exercise your gifts and do all the things you're called to do as a person in membership. But at the end of the day, it is Jesus that makes all the difference. The Word of God. Paul knew that these Jews in the synagogue needed to hear the gospel first. He says that in verse 46. Jesus' approach was similar. Matthew 15, 24, he went first to the household of Israel and then to the Gentiles. But we see that in this passage, another clear expression of Paul saying, I've got to go out to the ends of the earth. I have to begin to look to the Gentiles. Now, as we go back to the Jewish people in the synagogue who are rejecting the gospel, notice that it's very clearly jealousy that keeps them from seeing the gospel. So let's just pause for a moment. Let me ask you a question. What sins are keeping you from seeing God's promise for your life? Because in this text, I feel like good people are missing God's bigger blessing because of one sin called jealousy. And that gets me to thinking that everyone in this room has a sin of some sort. And that sin, whatever sort it is, has the capacity of clouding your spiritual vision and keeping you from the bigger things that God wants you to do. A big part of what I'm saying today is aimed towards those of you who have great ministry potential and have lost your way. I am speaking to those who are going to be able to say to me, I have felt the presence of God. I have known what it's like to be in worship and to do ministry, but I have lost my way. I'm here to tell you, from time to time, we need to get shook up. We need to realize that there is something God has for us. In this particular moment, though, I see people who are walking away from the future and from eternity because of something as simple as jealousy. Now, I want you to realize that here again, the Jewish people, they had the Word of God. But when the gospel came, the gospel needed to become the center of the message. Now, my guess is, and I know this is true because in Acts 15, we're going to hear about this thing called the Jerusalem Council. There were a lot of Jews that would have said, you know, this Jesus guy has a lot to offer. He is a really, really good rabbi. Let's put him. Now, I want to give you a visual image. Have you ever seen people riding around on motorcycles that have a sidecar? Now, I live in Nixa. And there's a guy, and this is awesome. He has a motorcycle and a sidecar, and he takes his dog everywhere in it. Have you guys seen this? How many of you guys have seen this? Because he's everywhere. Like every day I see this guy. That is the happiest dog in all the world. That dog is the happiest dog. And every time I see them, it just brings joy to my heart because that guy doesn't care what it looks like. He's just out enjoying a nice day with his dog, okay? And the rest of you, he doesn't care what you think. I love that. But when you look at one of those motorcycles with a sidecar, my logical mind says, that looks like a death trap. There is no way that is a safe way to travel on Campbell. Like, that's a crazy street. That is a terrible, you know, people are driving fast and being crazy. And I'm thinking, no way. And I'm thinking about how do you even turn that thing? It's just like, you know, getting around. So I'm just looking at the logistics of this saying, no, thank you. But the dog is cute. So here's the reality. I want you to think about this. Many people that Paul was confronting, they were fine with Jesus being in the sidecar. They were fine with Jesus being a part of the equation to some extent, but where they balked was putting Jesus in charge and in the center. And I think that this is not just a problem we see in the ancient world with that separation between Judaism and Christianity. I think we're having that same problem today. I think the temptation is that we have so many things in our world and culture that are really, really interesting and good, that it's very easy for us to put the gospel in a sidecar. And we begin to focus on other things other than the simple message that Jesus taught and the apostles taught and changed the world. I'm here to tell you that if we don't keep the gospel center, we will be unstable. We will not be able to be stable. We may be able to go somewhere. We may be able to accomplish some things, but we're going to do so in a way that is unstable. And I just believe that God is telling me this because my heart wants to go. I'm geared in such a way. I want to see the church grow. I want to see more disciples in the name of Jesus. But it's so easy to start making that the main thing, the center, instead of the gospel. And when we do that, We lose our way. Paul did not allow that to happen. He was able to stand up against those who would thrust aside. Notice the language again. Thrust aside the gospel. What that means, it's more violent, like get rid of it. But again, I think some of them were fine with it being on the side. Give me a side of Jesus, right? It's not the way it works. It's not healthy. It's not going to go well. So ultimately what this passage is warning us about, you can be a spiritual person and really not be anywhere near to God. The only way to be near to God is when Jesus is at the center. One of the things I'm starting to use as I talk to people, I start the conversation with, are you a spiritual person? Because it's a very broad way to begin to talk about spiritual things. And then from there, you have to move to Jesus. Because spiritual things, everybody, almost everybody kind of has a gear for spiritual. The true hardline atheist is a rare, rare breed, okay? They're out there. It's okay. They have an opinion and a right to it. But what we need to realize is that so many people, even in the church today, are willing to thrust aside or put in the sidecar the gospel, and that will lead to destruction. I'm so thankful that Paul and Barnabas didn't do that. In fact, the second point I want to make this morning is this: shake off the sadness and keep on sharing. When you get into these situations that are difficult, when you're trying to find your way, there are going to be moments where you have to shake off the sadness. Sharing Jesus, as I've already said, will stir up some dust. That's the way it is. And when you stir up dust, there will be moments of discouragement and sadness. Let me just say this to you, Christian, don't quit sharing because you are sad. Don't quit sharing because you have had some conversations with people that you had hoped would go better and they went worse. Here's what the devil's going to tell you. If you're sharing the gospel and people are rejecting, the devil's going to tell you you didn't do it well. The devil's going to tell you it's because you don't know how to share the gospel. But I'm here to tell you this is spiritual. That person needs to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You just continue to be faithful in sharing the gospel. Listen, God doesn't need the most articulate Christians. He just needs faithful Christians. Many times, the ones that are successful in evangelism are not the most articulate. They're just the most faithful. And Paul and Barnabas, they were articulate, but they were also tenacious. They did not give up sharing. They kept on going. Now remember, almost a whole city shows up to hear them preach. That's a good deal. And they were excited. But then right away, within a week, people start reviling them and putting them down. So here's what I want you to realize. What we have in the text is what I would call a downshift in spiritual energy. So listen to this. A quick shift in spiritual energy can bring you to your knees. That's exactly what we see in the text. We see someone who goes from being elated to what God is doing to, I'm sure Paul and Barnabas felt very discouraged. It brings us to our knees. Listen, if you are serving the Lord Jesus, you might as well start getting on your knees and pray, because if you're not on your knees in prayer, you're going to be on your knees crying. Because serving Jesus is going to be a challenge. If you're not already on your knees in prayer, you'll get there and be humbled, because so many times we do what we do and still do not meet with success. And it is hard to climb out of the pit when the devil has laid you low. It's one thing to be discouraged by another human being. It's another thing to run into a wall at work or school. But man, when the devil is pushing you down, when he lays you low, it's a different kind of low. And the only way that you can get out of it, out of this negativity, is to become more bold. In fact, in verse 46, look at what happens. Paul and Barnabas, they don't back down. They don't let the sadness get them down, even though negativity took over from positivity in less than 7 days. Verse 46b tells us that they got bold. As the devil became more brazen, we see Paul and Barnabas getting more bold. They are sharing the gospel. So let me say this. We fight through spiritual sadness by sharing the gospel more faithfully. When you are experiencing challenges and sharing your faith, don't let that slow you down. Just keep going. Be faithful. The devil wants to bring you down. He wants to keep you from sharing. Paul is wise enough, and he teaches us that we need to keep going. So notice, Paul realizes here that a shift in gears. He's been downshifted, yes, but this downshift spiritually is getting him ready for the upshift to go to the Gentiles. Up until this point, we're still seeing mostly interactions with people from the Jewish context and the Jewish faith. But it's here that he sees more clearly, Isaiah 49:6. So if you have your copy of scripture open, look at verse 47. Notice what it says here. This is a quote from Isaiah. So the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So the sadness, listen to this. The sadness that Paul and Barnabas experience, the spiritual battle they have to work through, focuses the light of the gospel in their heart. Years ago, when we were doing a remodel at First Baptist Church of DeSoto, we had a relatively long sanctuary. It wasn't super big, wasn't as big as this, but it was about as long or longer. And it was my first experience with a throw lens. Now, a throw lens on a projector is something that concentrates the light and projects a sharp image at distance. Well, let me just tell you, in this moment, it is the stress that Paul and Barnabas face that helps them see their focus is not just among the Jews, but it is here that they see that they are to be projected out to the ends of the earth, according to what the prophecy of Isaiah was. They are called to project the light. So here's the deal. The stress and the sadness that you're going through, it doesn't have to rob you of your light. If you are wise, you will allow the Holy Spirit to focus that light, and then you will see just how far God wants you to go. And some of you in this room, some of you who have been called to ministry and missions, you are called to go to the ends of the earth. And I'm telling you, what God has done in your life, the good, and what the enemy has tried to take from you, the bad, all of that can focus you on where you need to go. I love this. And Paul later talks about it in Ephesians 2:13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So by being able to project light to the Gentiles, they were brought near by the blood of Jesus. This helps Paul and Barnabas shake off the dust, verse 51, and keep on sharing Jesus with the Gentiles. Those of you who know your Bibles well will know that this language here in verse 51 of shaking off the dust is a direct quote of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus told us that some of the places we go to share the gospel are going to reject the gospel. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the gospel. And Jesus exhorted his disciples to shake the dust off their feet and go to the next town. So it is our job and our duty not to let sadness to stop us. We have to take some time. When you take the time to shake off the dust, that's how much time you have to lament. It's about that much time, okay? Because God has something big for you. Don't waste your life shaking off the dust from the past when God has something bigger for your future. It is understandable to be shook up by that sort of thing. It is understandable that sadness will come, but the devil doesn't want us to stay in sadness. How many of us have let sadness slow us down or even stop us? Shake off the dust and get to sharing Jesus. That's as close to a Taylor Swift quote as I'll ever have in a sermon. I repent of that sin right now. Anyway, when I read it a minute ago, I was like, okay, T. Swift, here you are. The gospel according to, just forget about it, all right? So that brings us to our third point. Our third point is this: choose joy, choose light, choose Jesus, all right? Now, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that happiness is a choice. If you are perpetually unhappy, brother, sister, it's because you're making that choice. All of us are in this same crazy environment, this crazy fallen world. You know, it's really sad. Like this morning, I came in, first service, we didn't have the orchestra, we were down a little bit, and I don't know what it was, but the patron saint of Ridgecrest this morning was Eeyore. Everything everybody told me was just down, you know, dark, worried, and some of it was so legitimate. Like, I'm not saying a bad thing about any of it. Like, these are people that are really struggling, but like, you know, just some mornings as a pastor, you walk in and you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of days where, you know, the clouds outside have managed to just come on in and rain on our parade. That's the way it is. And I get it. And I totally understand. And I, you guys, if you know me at all, you'll know. I will tell you, there is a season to grieve. There is a time for sadness and sorrow. We cannot deny that, because over half the Psalms are laments. It's okay to sometimes have some sadness in your life, but don't stay there. The laments are not meant for you to park and stay. The laments are meant to encourage our hearts in the Lord so we can go again. God does not want you to stay in the dark place. He will not allow you to stay in the dark place, because he is the God of light. And one of the ways we don't stay in the dark place is we remember that just smiling, just choosing to be happy. I have shared with many people over the past several years that I don't know what it is, but 3 a.m., I'm like always up at 3 a.m. I just wake up and whatever is on my heart pastorally, as a leader, and just especially the darker things, always seem to hit me at 3 a.m. And I know this sounds crazy. You know what has helped me more than anything else? At 3 a.m., and I almost every night I wake up then, and I think about those dark things. In the darkness, I just choose to smile. I make a point of having an absolute maniacal smile on my face that no one else can see but the Lord. And what I've decided is that those sad things are not any less sad because I smile. But when I smile, I feel a lot better than when I frown. And when I smile, I'm reminding myself that no matter how dark the moment may seem today, I have the hope of Jesus. Therefore, I have the hope of victory. It's a choice. It's a choice. If we want to look at the world and see it disintegrating, we can do that, and it's true. But at the same time, we can make the choice to look and see where God is at work. Ridgecrest, my hope is that this sermon will help you to think more clearly about what God would have us do, how he would fill us with the Holy Spirit, how we can change the world in spite of all the chaos. I know, listen, any given day, you can ask me what's going on in the world, like the recent event, I couldn't tell you. And it's not because I'm just, you know, too good for that. It's just that I learned a long time ago, when I'm really keeping up with the news, my eyes, my heart gravitates towards the darker things. And so I'm trying very hard not to allow any of that to grab a hold of me, because I know how susceptible I am to it. I want to choose joy. I want to choose light. I want to choose Jesus. Here are just a few words of encouragement. Listen to this. God's word is powerful. Revivals centered on the word can change entire cities. Verse 44. So hear me out. What God wants to do through Ridgecrest, it's going to be through the power of the word of God. We believe the word of God is powerful enough by itself to change all of Springfield. Secondly, God speaks through those who love the light. Verse 47, if we are light lovers, God will allow us to be projecting that light like a throw lens would into the far ends of the earth. It is true that our love for missions and our focus on missions the last several years, the light never really does. The sun never sets on Ridgecrest missions. We do have mission work being done all around the world. The gospel, churches are being planted, orphans are being cared for all around the world. See, we are already projecting that light. We would just like you individually to be more part of that light. The third thing is, you can be a source of joy and a channel of salvation to lost souls. We treasure souls. Verse 48 reminds us that when we are filled with joy and then we share that joy in terms of a gospel presentation, people will receive Jesus and be saved. You know, last night, Rick and Sandy and Jenny and I, we had dinner together, and we were just talking about this new church planting vision we have. We're still trying to figure out what God wants us to do. Generally speaking, we want to plant 5 churches in the next 5 years. We want to start right here in Southwest Springfield. We see 20,000 souls right over here. There's not a Southern Baptist church, a strong evangelical presence. We believe that God has called us to reach with a church plant in that area. We know, but listen, we realize that the world has changed. In the last 10 or 15 years, some of the strategies, some of the things that worked really well 10 or 15 years ago, we got to shake the dust off and look for something different. We have to be bold. We have to plant a church and say, look, what we're trying to do here is have a healthy Bible preaching, teaching church. It's not going to be fancy, but it's going to be full of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're aiming for. We want to reach people. We know that we can invite people all day long to come into a building like this. They may or may not come, but if that's not going to work, we're going to look for any way to get them to the foot of the cross. Do you understand? It's not about bringing them to one place. It's about bringing them to the cross. That's where people need to be. That's the only one place where people need to go. Not one address, not one place on the map. We're looking for any way that we can reach lost souls. Out there in the foyer, you know, there's all those ping pong balls. Those represent gospel conversations. And friends, we got to keep doing that. Even if we're not seeing fruit right away, I've always felt like that when we're sharing the gospel over here, God's doing something over here. And eventually what's going on over here, we'll find out about. Just be faithful where you're at. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep being faithful in the little things and watch God do the big things. Today's not a big day. We haven't had a huge attendance. We're not going to call this a banner day in any way except for the fact that these guys showed up and they're having fun. So I'm happy about that. But here's the thing. God wants to do something big, and he usually does it on days that seem so small. They seem like nothing else is working quite right, but today something is at work. God is at work in a heart. You can choose to speak Jesus in the world. Did you know that? You can choose to do that. You can choose to be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Verse 52, and all those who are full of joy and the Holy Spirit speak Jesus. True spiritual power is always connected to Jesus. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they met resistance in Antioch and Pisidia. They moved on to Iconium. When the dust settled in one place, they moved to another place. They kept moving. Did they get pushback? Yes. But let me ask you this question. When's the last time you stirred up any dust? Maybe you haven't felt any pushback because you've not been stirring up any dust. You see, many of us have settled for something less than what God has called us to do. And I'm just asking you, are you willing to search diligently for what God wants next? God is at work among the people here at Ridgecrest. People came up to me in between services and said, I have rededicated my heart. I need a fresh start. Some of you are tempted to stay on the ministry bench forever. I think it's time to get back in the game. I think some of us have allowed a few closed doors to become the focus of our hearts instead of focusing that energy to search for the open door. God has some open doors for you, but you will not find them if all you do is stay stuck in the past. Let me change the metaphor a little bit. You got to shake off some of that dust. You got to shake off some of those feelings of hurt and failure and pain. They're there, but the enemy wants you to stay there. Don't stay there. Realize that there is a new door opening. Oh, friends, God wants to change your life. And as I think about this sermon, it's not so much. I don't think I wrote this to just call you as an individual to shake off the dust, to consider new directions. I think this is really a call to our entire congregation. That we have to be bold enough to shake off the dust from whatever has happened in the past, good and bad. And we have to be bold in sharing Jesus. The one common factor here, we see it twice in the text, is the boldness of Paul and Barnabas. No matter what they faced, they doubled down on the gospel. Brothers and sisters, let's double down on the gospel. Amen. Let's shake off the dust and double down on Jesus and his gospel. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. For additional resources, to learn more about us, or get connected, visit ridgecrestbaptist.org.